I invite you to turn in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We're continuing our studies this evening. I began this morning brief studies in the life of Joseph and the lessons that he has for us. This morning we saw that God's sovereign purposes are in no way affected by our failure as parents, by the naivety and maturity of youth, nor by the hardened sinfulness of godless men and women. Tonight we come to a very well-known passage of God's Word, but it is instructive to us as to the Lord's dealings with man. Genesis chapter 39. Hear the Word of God. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to him, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled and gone out of the house." Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home and told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to laugh at me, but as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words his wife had spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. May God bless to us this reading of his infallible word. This morning we considered how we can know and trust God even through the reality of everyday life. This evening I want to consider, as it were, the secret to life. Wherein is to be found the joy of life, that blessing of life, the success of life? And I want us to look at the fact that God blesses regardless of circumstances. Or maybe it should be God blesses through all circumstances. And I want to then look at how God blesses because of our desire to keep his commands. He blesses because of our willingness to keep his commands. And then to see how God, in his blessing of us, speaks to the unbelievers around us. And finally, to note as a conclusion that God's blessing is because of God's being with us. First then, God blesses regardless or through all our circumstances. I want to take you through a very quick analysis of some of the verses in this chapter to show you the fact of the point that I'm going to make. Verse 2, if you look at that, we see that in verse 2, the words tell us that the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. And then in verse 21, we read that the Lord was with Joseph and showed his steadfast love and gave him favor in sight of the prison or the keeper of the prison. In verse 4, we read that Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar. In verse 21, we find that Joseph found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In verse 4, we find that Potiphar made Joseph overseer of his house. In verse 22, we read that the chief jailer made Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. We read in verse 6 that such was Joseph's responsibility that Potiphar had nothing to do but concern himself with the food that he ate. In verse 23, we read the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge. In verse 3, we see that Potiphar sees that the Lord is with Joseph and how the Lord causes him to prosper because of Joseph's presence with him. In verse 23, we read that the keeper sees the Lord's blessing upon his life because of Joseph's presence in the prison. Two very clear evidences of the Lord's blessing and the implications of that blessing for the person who was ultimately responsible for the situation, and blessing upon all concerned to such an degree that the person ultimately responsible didn't have to worry about anything but to eat. And yet there's a huge gulf between the respective set of circumstances. Joseph wasn't any more blessed in Potiphar's house than he was in the prison. The blessing that Joseph experienced in Potiphar's house is clear and evident to us. The blessing that Joseph received in the prison is clear and evident to us. So let's look, having made that initial statement, at the facts. We read that Joseph, we saw this morning how his brother had sold him to a camel train of Ishmaelites who had brought him into Egypt. And there Joseph is bought by an individual who we read in verse 2 is a successful man. He is an Egyptian, obviously, that's the nation we're in. And he is a prosperous Egyptian. He is a man who, we read in verse 1, is an officer in the household of Pharaoh. So here he is. He is a captain of the guard. So he lives in Egypt. He lives close to where Pharaoh is living. And he has a job that is really responsible. He's a captain of the guard of those who look after Pharaoh. This man is a man of real importance and significance. And this young Israelite, Joseph, finds himself in his household. And we read that what he does and what he gives himself to results in blessing for himself and for Potiphar. He becomes successful, verse 2. His master sees that the Lord is with him. Really interesting. Potiphar doesn't just see that Joseph is a capable young man, that he is articulate, intelligent, and able. He notes that there is something distinctly different about this young man that distinguishes him from many others he probably have seen. It is possible that Potiphar, in his task, would have been had the opportunity to have had his pick of any of the potential slaves coming through that way. He would have got the pick of the best, as it were. We read that Joseph was a handsome young man in form, verse 6, and it's possible that initially that he was chosen on the basis of his being handsome in appearance. Possibly Potiphar wanted someone who would represent his household well, and he probably felt that here was a young man who carried himself well, he looked well, when he spoke to him he was articulate, and so he wanted someone who would be in his household, would work, and would be able to be given responsibility. And as that responsibility would represent his household, he wanted that young man, when he would interact with people, to be someone whom they would like to interact with. And so, Joseph found himself in Potiphar's house. And he excels. We're not told what his initial responsibility is. But he excels. And he excels for one reason and one reason alone. Verse 3. The Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord blessed him. And such was the blessing that the Lord placed upon Joseph, that everything that Potiphar had, was blessed. We read in verse 5, from the time that Potiphar made Joseph overseer in his house and over all that he had, the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, both in his house and in his field, to such an extent that this man had nothing to worry about except for what he ate every day. Now that's an astonishing position to reach. That he had such a sense of the competency and the ability and an evidence of the blessing of Joseph upon his life that he felt that he could give Joseph all responsibility in his home, and he had absolutely nothing to worry about. Such is the blessing that is upon him. That set of circumstances were about to change dramatically. Not because of anything that Joseph did, but because of Potiphar's wife. She saw him, and she desires to have intimate relations with him. He refuses. He doesn't refuse once, he refuses on a number of occasions. We read in the 10th verse that as she spoke to him day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. He won't even be in her presence because of the fear that here is someone who is going to seek to engage him in that which is inappropriate and unacceptable. What happens is that he, having refused her, is caught up in a situation where she manifests or concocts a story whereby he is caught in a labyrinth of lies. He is caught in a labyrinth of lies. And this lie is perpetuated by Potiphar's wife, initially to the men of the household, and then to her husband. The result is that he ends up being not only losing his job, which would have been sufficiently harsh, but he ends up being thrown into the prison and there confined in the prison. The blessing of God upon his life, the blessing of God upon his life results in a brutal change of circumstances because of the sinfulness of this woman, and Joseph finds himself now in prison. And there you would think is the end of the story of blessing. He has come from the pit, literally the physical pit that his brothers have put him into, with all the emotional stress and all the thoughts of what if in his life. What if I hadn't said to them about the dreams? What if I hadn't said the second dream? What if I hadn't brought back a bad report to my father about my brothers? What if I'd taken my coat off and hidden it when I was in their company? All the things that must have gone through this young man's mind as he was traveling from the pit to Egypt, where he has stood there on a line and Potiphar chooses him out because he is handsome. All the thoughts that's going through his mind as he labors diligently in Potiphar's house, minding his own business. But the Lord blesses him, and the Lord keeps blessing him to such an extent that Potiphar finds himself not having to do anything other than being concerned about his food. Success after success after success. Everything he seems to touch turns to gold in a metaphorical sense. And now, in a matter of hours, not in a matter of weeks or days, in a matter of hours, he goes from this position of prestige and relative power in the household of one of the most prominent men in Pharaoh's court to being in prison, destitute and having nothing. And it wasn't a pleasant experience in prison. We read in Psalm 105, where we read in verse 18, when he had sent a man ahead of them. This is God speaking in the psalmist writing of what happens. Joseph was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. That's speaking about Joseph's experience in prison. So it wasn't a mild experience. It wasn't an open prison he was in. He wasn't put in a situation where the Pharaoh said, well, I don't want him working in my household, but we'll put him in prison. But let's be gentle on him because he's done a good job for me. I've been blessed by him. My household's blessed. The field has been blessed. He's a young man. Okay, he made a mistake. He shouldn't have fancied my wife and run after her. But we make mistakes. Let's put him in prison. Let's see how he do. Let's see if he learns his lesson. But look after him. That's not the case. His feet were hurt with fetters and his neck was put in a collar. Brutal circumstances. And yet, what do we know happens? The Lord was with him. The Lord shows him steadfast love. The Lord gives him favor in the sight of the keeper. The keeper of the prison puts Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. Whatever was done, he was the one who did it. And the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Exactly the same story. Exactly the same story. What had happened in at Potiphar's house when he was free and at liberty, now it happens when he's in prison and doesn't have his liberty. The blessing upon Potiphar's house is clear and evident. The blessing upon the prison is clear and evident. Joseph applies himself to the task. He gives himself to the task and the Lord's hand is upon him. In prison, he gives himself to the task, even with the fetters around his feet and with the collar around his neck, he gives himself to the task. The Lord's hand is upon him. I think it's really, really necessary for us to understand that God blesses regardless of our circumstances. We tend to look at times of difficulty and trial in our life and say, God isn't blessing me. God's not with me. Think of what it would have been like for Joseph being cast into that prison. His brothers, out of jealousy and hatred, had sold him into slavery and the Ishmaelites. He had come to Potiphar's house. He had done his absolute best with all the emotional disturbance in his young teenage life, and he had been blessed by God, and now he finds himself in prison. Was there ever a case for someone to say, where are you, God? Where are you? I really didn't do anything wrong in receiving my father's love. I really didn't do anything wrong and telling my father that my brothers weren't looking after the herds right. I really didn't do anything wrong in sharing the dreams with him. I didn't do anything wrong in wearing the coat. I may have been naive in certain things, but I didn't do anything wrong. And you bring me to Potiphar's house, and I don't do anything wrong. I do what's right. I give myself to the task. I protect my master. I am loyal to him and his wife. I do what I'm asked to do. You bless me I work the hours that you give me, and you give me success. I give you acknowledgement of that success. I say it is you who is doing it, and yet here I am in prison. Where are you? What is going on? Why have you cast me aside? The Lord deals with us in order to make us even more useful for him. Do you remember Moses? How that Moses was brought up. Moses is after this period historically. Moses is brought up in the household of the Egyptians. He's trained in all the knowledge of the Egyptians. He is the man who has the gifts and the ability to lead the people out of Egypt. And yet what does God do? He drives him into the wilderness. For 40 years of his life, he's in the wilderness. Why? Because God is teaching him. You can have the gifts and you can have the ability and you can have what I will give you. But I need to teach you to have the attitude and the aptitude that you're serving me. What if David, a man after God's own heart, a teenager, when the prophet Samuel anoints him as the future king, still in his teens when he slays Goliath, and yet he has to spend a number of years in his 20s running away from the mad Saul. It's nearly 30 before he's ready to lead the nation. Why? Here is this young man who's been anointed by God. Here's a young man who has the bravery to take on the great Goliath. Here's a young man whom we saw two Lord's days ago, that here was a young man who trusted in the Lord with all his heart. And yet God drives him around that land of Canaan, hiding in mountains and caves. Why? Because God is saying to him, I've got to teach you that you have to depend on me. What about the Apostle Paul? Trained in the language of Greek, Roman citizenship, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, zealous for the things of God, born again of the Spirit of God, sees Jesus himself. Surely he was eminently ready to go into the kingdom of God and be a servant of a kingdom of God and bring the gospel both to Jew and Gentile alike. God holds him. God sends him for 3 years into Arabia and then on into Tarsus where he's in obscurity. And it's about 10 years after his conversion before Barnabas goes up to Antioch and says, I know the man for this place. I know the man. And he goes to the street called Straight in Tarsus and he goes and says to Paul, you're ready now. Well, many of us would have looked and said, Paul was ready 10 years before. But you see, the Lord had him put through trial. And what of the Lord Jesus himself? What do we read? He learned obedience through what he suffered. Surely if there was ever a man who was ready to bring the gospel of God, to bring upon creation, it was Jesus. And yet God waited until he was 30 years of age before God gave him that opportunity. Why? Because God was saying to his own son, there are things you need to learn, and you learn them by suffering. We have got to understand that the blessing of God upon our lives cannot only be viewed when we feel that things are going well. The Lord's success upon us can't be measured in material blessings. The Lord's success cannot be measured in terms of us thinking, well, things are going well. Things are going well in my life. They're going well in the family. They're going well in whatever I touch my hand to. Therefore, I am blessed of the Lord. And then something difficult comes into our lives, a real, real difficulty, a serious difficulty that upsets us and drives us. And we think to ourselves, where's the Lord in all of this? Does he not care anymore? I haven't changed. I still read my Bible. I still pray. And yet I am thrust into this situation. And none of my fault. I didn't bring this on. Joseph here doesn't sin with Potiphar's wife. You would see through it if he had slept with the woman. But he doesn't. He doesn't sleep with her. And yet he's thrust into the prison. But the Lord is with him. And we've got to understand that the Lord's blessing upon our lives is not quantified as we quantify blessing. There are people in this building tonight who are closer to God now than they were 10 years ago, and all because of trial and tribulation. Trial and tribulation. Brokenness. And the blessing of the Lord has come upon them as they were cast into a prison of difficulty. Be wary of reading the circumstances of your life and the good things in your life as mere evidence of God's blessing. The Lord caused this young man to be blessed in real difficulty. God's blessing is directly linked to the keeping of his commands. Joseph goes and serves in the household of Potiphar. He serves and fulfills his responsibility to his employer with all his heart and his mind. Until this day, when the wife of Potiphar comes knocking at the door metaphorically. Why did Joseph not succumb? He's young. He's at a stage in life where intimacy plays a big part in his thought processes, if I can put it that way, and you'll understand what I'm saying. She is persistent in chasing after him. She is determined that she will have a relationship with him. He could so easily, since he was in control of everything, remember, control of everything, he could so easily have manipulated the situation to have got her off his back. He could have argued the case that the Lord had put him in this situation and the Lord was blessing him in this situation, and it was important for him that he would be able to remain in Potiphar's house because he would be able to exert influence over Potiphar. And if he could influence over Potiphar, he might be able to influence over other people. And somehow he might even be indirectly able to influence Pharaoh someday. And this woman's carping in his ear all the time. This woman would have been taking him down emotionally. He would have been going to bed at night thinking to himself about this woman is constantly at me. And he could have reasoned in his head, all I have to do is just get her off my back, using that terminology. I will have relationships with her once. I'll concoct a story. I'll do this. And that will be it. Nobody will ever know. And I'll make the provision that she doesn't tell anybody. And we can do it. And then that'll be it. It'll be done. She'll be satisfied. She'll have conquered me. She'll have me as a prize in her life. She'll see me and say, well, he did what I said, so really I'm a boss over him. He could have rationalized all those reasons. Why would I want to lose my job in Potiphar's house? But he doesn't. He doesn't. And the reason he doesn't is made very clear. He says, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put me in charge, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, verse 9, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you're his wife. The line was drawn. And then he says, and he quantifies the evil. And it's hard to quantify evil. It's hard to quantify wrongdoing. When we're in a situation where we want to rationalize things away, it's amazing how serious sin becomes not so serious. It's amazing how that which is demonstrably wrong in terms of the covenant promises of God and the commands of God, how we can rationalize those into being lesser sins than what they really, really are. We can make them little sins in our minds and our hearts. But he doesn't. He doesn't in any way take anything away from this sin. He sees it as it is. How then can I do this great wickedness? How is it a great wickedness? He's only going to sleep with this woman once. How is that a great wickedness? In his eyes, it's a great wickedness. Why? Because in the eyes of God, it's a great sin. It's a great wickedness. in God's eyes. And he's not only going to cause a great wickedness against Potiphar, against Potiphar's wife, but his sin is against God. Against God. The Lord's blessing is upon this man. Why? Because he knows and loves God. How do we know that he loves God and knows God? Because he keeps the commands of God. That's how we know it. It's not just talk. This man knows God and he loves God because he sees the commands of God are to be kept. Now remember, this is before the Ten Commandments, because they come later, don't they? And such was his relationship with God that he knew what was right and what was wrong. Which should even speak to us, because we have the law of God given to us very clearly. He doesn't minimize the sin. He doesn't reduce the sin. He sees it for what it is against God. This young man loves God. He loves God. And the desire in his life is to bless God. Blessing of God comes upon those who love the ways of God. We sang it in Psalm 1b. He who meditates on God's law day and night, he is the one who is blessed. He doesn't take counsel from the scorner or sit in the scorner's chair, those who scoff against the Lord, but he knows God, he loves God, he yearns to understand who God is and he wants to do the will of God. He understands that the best thing in his life is to do what God wants him to do. And when we are there, when we are in the place of doing what God wants us to do, then we'll receive blessing. But remember, the blessing we will receive doesn't necessarily mean that it will be happy circumstances. It doesn't mean that our circumstances will be happy. Because here, in a sense, is Joseph at the zenith, at the peak of his obedience towards God. Here, the riches of lust are placed before him. The temptation of this intimacy is before him. Here is an occasion that would have him walk away from God, even for one occasion, for 20 minutes of activity. And yet at this very moment, when he is giving his heart to God, and he is loving God, and he is giving God everything that he has, and he understands that in his giving his life to God, there is the richness of his life. At this moment, when he is doing his best by God, suddenly his world falls apart. It blows up in his face. And you would think, he would think to himself, why on earth, when I'm giving myself to the Lord and I'm walking in his ways, is he tearing my life apart? But you see, the Lord has a work for him. The Lord is going to bless him because he sees in Joseph a love for himself. He sees in Joseph a love for himself. And Joseph is going to be blessed and used of God in a mighty, mighty way because God sees that he loves him. And God is going to test Joseph more to prepare Joseph for the strength and the depth of the task that he has for him to engage in. Be willing to experience the Lord's blessing, but experience it through allowing yourself to understand that God has to take you through more and more and more to get you to where he wants you to be. Notice thirdly, God speaks, and I'll be brief, speaks to the unbeliever. Potiphar sees the Lord's blessing on Joseph's life, and he attributes it to God. The jailer, verse 23, sees the blessing upon Joseph's life. Why do these men attribute it to God? They attribute it to God because Joseph spoke about the Lord's presence in his life. Joseph not only worked hard, he spoke of the Lord's blessing in his life. He speaks about the Lord's blessing in his life when he's in Potiphar's house doing well in a prominent position. He speaks of the Lord's blessing of his life when he's in the prison, fettered and collared, and the Lord is blessing him. Take care. Take care that you don't just speak about the Lord's blessing upon your life when the Lord is making things good in your life. Take care that when you're in the crucible, when you're in the prison and your feet are fettered and your neck is collared, and yet you have been obedient to God, take care to say the Lord is good and the Lord blesses. How much harm has been done to the cause of Christ when good men and women have been put in a season of testing and they've complained about God's dealings with them. And the godless look and the godless think, well, your God only seems to deal with you and make you happy when things are going well. But when things are difficult, all I hear from you is the same whinging and moaning and gurning, maybe with nicer words and with less expletives, but I hear the same intonation in your tone, I hear the same tremor in your voice that I hear from my fellow unbelievers. Take care, brothers and sisters, that when you're in a difficult situation, in a season of crucible, that you are guarded in what you say. Be wise in what you say. Be wise in what you think. Understand that God is dealing with you to bring you into a deeper walk with him, that you might know him, that you might love him, that you might cherish him, that you might be more useful to him for his glory. Do not destroy the potential witness through your life, by speaking ill of God and his grace and his goodness. Fourthly, God's blessing is all about God being with us. Verse 2, verse 3, verse 21, and verse 23 of chapter 39. Four times we read, twice in Potiphar's house and twice in the prison, we read that the Lord is with Joseph. True success in your life is not where you are. It's where God is with you. True blessing in your life is not where you are materially or circumstantially. It's where God is with you. Whether you're in the place of Potiphar's house with prosperity and success, or whether you're in the prison with difficulty and trial, if the Lord is with you, that is all that matters. Because our lives are not measured in what we have or do not have. We all know, you know as well as I do, that if you put your confidence in things or people, you will be disheartened and discouraged because things and people let you down. We all do it. We do it. But whether you're in good times or bad, prosperity or difficulty, it doesn't matter where you are. It matters if God is with you, and God will be with you if you obey and love him with all your heart. You walk in the ways of righteousness, and the Lord will be with you. You seek first his kingdom, and the Lord will be with you. You make choices, difficult as they are, like this young man made, this real difficult choice when faced with this woman, faced with all that's going through his body and his mind, faced with the challenge of thinking about what will happen if he doesn't do it, or what will happen if he does, thinking of protecting himself, thinking of the fact that he's on his own, his father is away, his brother's away, there's nobody to talk to. And yet this young man chooses to do that which is right. And because he chooses to do what is right, the Lord is with him in the prison. Everything in our lives, everything about us depends about the Lord's blessing. The Lord's blessing. The Lord blesses, we're happy. The Lord doesn't bless, we're unhappy. That's the bottom line.
You see it in the Word of God continually. When the people did the law of God and obeyed the law of God, they were happy. And when they didn't, the Lord wasn't with them and they weren't happy. Didn't matter what they had or didn't have. It was immaterial. True success in our lives is not where we're at or what we have. True success in our lives is whether God is with us. Whether God is with us. Whether we're depending on Him. This young man teaches many lessons. This word teaches us many lessons. It teaches us in reality the secret of life itself is to be found in the presence of the Lord and nowhere else. Amen.